This is Natural Insect Control, an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from August 10th, 1984.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. This morning I have a few words for the armchair naturalist, the one who watches his nature sitting in a chair by his window. Winter bird watching is an armchair event for most people. Exceptions to that may be found around Christmas, when dozens of Audubonners conduct their Christmas count, and in snow-clad times when snowmobilers and cross-country skiers may view a bird or two, incident to the grander goals of their excursions. The winter bird watcher is normally a stay-at-home. So too are many of the birds he watches. Of some 30 species which I have observed at or around the feeders I have watched this winter, 20 species are commonly seen here year-round. Of these apparent stay-at-homes, about half migrate at least short distances, so our feeder visitants are probably different individuals from those which we see in our summer dooryards. Included in this list would be song sparrow, goldfinch, purple finch, red-winged blackbird, cowbird, robin, mourning dove, crow. About an equal number are true stay-at-homes, and those birds we observe at our feeder may very well be as much at home in our yard as we are. Included in this list might be cardinal, house sparrow, starling, white-breasted nuthatch, chickadee, blue jay, downy and hairy woodpecker, pileated woodpecker, and red-bellied woodpecker. This last bird, like the cardinal and the mockingbird, which I have not seen at my feeders, has spread northward and occupied local ranges in recent years. In the belief that winter bird watchers may know little about the life histories of the stay-at-homes, I offer the following comments. 7 species, including the woodpeckers, nuthatch, chickadee, and starling, commonly nest in cavities in trees. The house sparrow, too, does not disdain such a home site, but in many places builds a bulky nest in a tree or under an eave. Only the blue jay and the cardinal build conventional open nests. The blue jay builds its bulky nest in wooded sections, most frequently in hemlock, spruce, or pines. Mature dooryard spruces may entice them to forsake the woods and nest near your home. The eggs have a greenish or olive-brown color and are liberally splotched with brown. 4 to 6 eggs are common. The blue jay eats a variety of animal and vegetable matter, including acorns, grain, insects, amphibians, reptiles, and occasionally small birds or birds' eggs. The cardinal is truly a dooryard bird, frequently choosing a large bush adjacent to the house as a nest site. Its 3 or 4 eggs are commonly light blue or greenish blue, liberally spotted with brown or lilac. It is a seed and fruit eater and an insect eater. The female incubates the eggs for 12 days. After the young leave the nest, both male and female may feed them in plain sight of your family. Many people do not realize that chickadees and nuthatches will accept properly designed bird boxes. Normally, the chickadee prefers a pioneer woods where birch, cherry, and aspen provide abundant poles with punky interiors, which are easily excavated. The nest cavity is liberally lined with moss, down, fur, and feathers, making the softest cradle for the tiny brown speckled white eggs. 7 or 8 is not an uncommon number of eggs. Because it prefers stubs with soft interiors as nest sites, the nests are frequently near the ground. I found one nest at Sherburn located 1 foot above the ground in a dead willow stub, which was only 3 feet high itself. Nuthatches prefer slightly more mature woodlands, frequently taking over abandoned woodpecker holes. They also like overmature or abandoned orchards. Like the chickadees, the nuthatch may have a large clutch of eggs, as many as 8 or 10. However, unlike the chickadee, in which both sexes incubate the eggs, the male nuthatch does not perform that task. Both chickadee and nuthatch dine heavily on insects, insect eggs, and pupae. The nuthatch also eats a variety of vegetable matter, including nuts and hard fruits. Most of us are familiar with the chickadee's fondness for sunflower seeds and sumac. Hairy and downy woodpeckers prefer woodlands or orchards where dead snags provide suitable nest cavities. Of the two, the downy is more likely to be found nesting in the dooryard. Both birds are quite secretive at nesting time, and their nest sites, often high above the ground, are seldom found. The eggs of both birds are white, the hairy's egg being about an inch long, the downy's about 3/4 inch long. Both birds work the trunks and limbs of trees in search of insect life. Both also eat nuts and seeds. The downy has some reputation for stripping the bark from young trees to get at the tender cambium. It is also a frequent visitor to fresh sapsucker holes, where it appears to relish the oozing sap. The pileated woodpecker is one of the handsome, most spectacular of our woodland birds. It is slightly smaller than a crow with a conspicuous red cockade. Overall, it's dark blackish brown with white streaks and patches on head and wings. Also, of course, those conspicuous scarlet marks on its head. In flight, it resembles a crow, but its undulating path and conspicuous white wing patches should give it away. Although not abundant, it's not really rare, and is normally found in mature woods where at least some overmature trees exist. Its bill is a formidable 2-inch chisel, with which it digs prodigious square-shaped holes in insect-infested trees, especially those in which the heartwood is riddled by carpenter ants. It is also known to eat berries and some other fruits. Just this last week, I saw a pair of them in the top of a sumac copse. It was really an exciting and diverting sight to see it. The strident rolling call is one of the hallmarks of the mature woodlands, like a loud, vigorous flicker call, but not a monotone, and with a distinct crescendo and diminuendo. It is true that these last birds are seldom seen by the armchair naturalist unless their armchair faces a woodlot. But at Beaver Lake, for instance, I saw them frequently from my office window, and I see them occasionally now from my window at Baltimore Woods. I hope you will have a chance in your armchair adventures to see one too. I just thought you might be interested in that information. This is John Weeks saying that's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.